good to have Bible college muscle here, right? That's spiritual muscle. So happy for Baltimore, so happy for Bible college. I just need a sip of coffee to wet my mouth. All right, great word. Thank you, Mark. All right, so let's get into the word tonight. And we're going to look at light. Some different references to light, divine light versus moral light, what it means to walk in the light, what is light. So just to kind of get us ready for the message. So, Father, bless this time in your word. Lord, we ask that you, Lord, you minister to us, you speak to us, God, that you speak to the deep heart of our soul, Lord. Change us, make us new, lead us, guide us in your word, help us to walk not according to the world, but according to your light, Lord, and to see you in the light, to see you as you are in holiness and truth, God. Thank you, Lord. Father, I ask that you take these notes, make them yours, and whatever words that you want to use, Lord, that you have your way tonight, Lord, and that it be rightly divided words of truth, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Please turn to Ezekiel chapter 1 real quick, please, to start. Ezekiel chapter 1. And anybody familiar with the book of Ezekiel? Ezekiel got quite a trip in Ezekiel chapter 1. Imagine, like, really seeing what he was seeing, you know, like 3,000 years ago or so. You know, he saw a vision of the Lord. And he saw the vision of the wheel inside the wheel. And he saw all these amazing visions. And he's trying to write it down. But how do you write that down? Like, what he saw defied, like, his mind couldn't even begin to wrap around his mind around it. So when he's writing, like, I saw a wheel, like, inside of another wheel. And they were spinning differently. And it was just him trying to wrap his mind around this. And he's also in, like, I forgot what verse it is. But he talks about a fire enfolding in on itself in the first few verses of chapter 1. Just amazing what he saw when God said, like, here I am. And he saw this amazing vision of God. But I want to open up to verse 27. Starting in verse 26 to 28, sorry for notes. And he says, and above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man upon it. And I saw it as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upwards, and from the appearance of his loins even downwards, I saw it as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about it. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so is the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Like, so think about this. Like, Ezekiel, just, he's there and he sees this vision, and it is just bright, just brightness. And he sees a bow, like a rainbow, around the vision of a man, and it's just the glory of the Lord is there. It is something different. It is something special. It is blindingly bright for him. And he goes on to say in chapter 8, verse 2, that, like, in the upper torso, from the loins upward, it was like brightness of burning metal. You know, like, and he goes on, like, to describe it. And to think about the light of God is kind of what I want to bring our minds to here. The glory of the Lord. It is something different. It is something special. And this is what Ezekiel saw. There was glory there. And in 2 Samuel 22:13, it talks about the brightness before the Lord. David's writing this. The brightness before the Lord, lighting coals of fire around it. You know, like, that's the glory of our God. It is burning. It is amazing. It is spectacular. And we see this over and over again. When people met the glory of the Lord, we see Moses on the mount. We see Isaiah in the holy place. We see John in Revelation. We see Peter and James and John in the Mount of Transfiguration. What did these great, powerful men do when they saw the glory of the Lord, right? They fell on their faces. There was no standing up to the glory of God. There was no saying, okay, I'm good enough for this. Like, what did Isaiah say? Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips in Isaiah chapter 6. Like, I am a man of unclean lips. I can't even talk to God who I'm seeing. There's glory there. It is special. It is bright. And it is divine light, light from God. And this light is special. It's not just that it's really bright, you know, if we have like fog lights or whatever, those are really bright lights. But this light is, it's a pure light. There's purity in this light. This is the light of God. So if we can turn to 1 John chapter 1. We're going to bounce around a little bit tonight. In verse 5. Then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That we would walk in the light as he is in the light. You know, and we see this over and over again in the Bible. When we look at the light of the Lord, there is something different about it. It's not just doing good. You know, the light is the glory, the Shekinah glory of God in a place that we can't be. You know, and this verse saying is walk in the light as he is in the light. And it's easy to say like, man, I see how that worked out for Moses. You know, like he couldn't really walk in the light. You know, in 1 Timothy 6, it talks about us like not even able to approach the light, 6:16, that we can't even approach the light of God, the glory of God. So it's kind of almost like a contradiction here, right? That God being glory, being perfect, and you know, the light of God speaks of purity. The light there, the blinding light. In James 1:17, it says there is no variableness or shadow of turning. There is no shadow in the light of God. You know, we can say there's light here, but there's behind the pulpit, there's a little bit of a shadow. I can actually see it with my hand as I wave it around. The light of God is the same light everywhere. There is no shadow. It is just pure. It is all light. It is the glory of God. And the light of God is his righteousness, truth, holiness. It's the nature and character of God. It's the attributes of God. That we have a holy God. Like, our God is holy. Our God is just, right? Like, our God is just. He can't look upon sin. It is the justice, but it's the justice of God that forgives us our sin. You know, like, it's easy to say, like, oh, the love of God forgives us our sin, but it's actually the justice of God that forgives us our sin. Because the love of God sent Jesus Christ, the justice of God looks at the sacrifice and says they are forgiven. That's a just payment. So, but God is pure, and there is pure holiness there, and there's not a shadow or shadow of turning or variableness there. We can't approach his light. So a lot of times, instead of, like, we'll get to the what God spells out, but a lot of times we try to create our own light in our life. We create our own, it says in Isaiah chapter 50, we'll say. It talks about, it's Isaiah chapter 50, verse 11, where it talks about creating our own fire and encompassing ourselves with sparks. You know, it's saying like, we're going to create our own little thing. We're going to be good enough here. I have my sparks and I'm just going to walk and we're going to go forward, you know, because the holiness of God, that's a scary thought. It's scary to be in the eyes of God. You know, if you ever heard a classic message from Jonathan Edwards, it actually helped spark a revival in this country called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. It's really a great message. But it has sparked a revival. But thinking that the holiness of God, and in ourselves, we say, I can't approach this holiness, so I need to make it up. I need to create my own fire. And I do like relative morality, right? Well, I guess I'm not that bad. I'm not as bad as I was yesterday, so I'm good. I'm good today. It's relative morality. And we look good, and we look good to ourselves. And we'll even like do religious things. We'll do outreach, and we'll do different things, and we'll sing, and we'll go to church, you know? But when it comes to holiness and righteousness, like, we don't know. We lose the definition there. We don't know what it means. We lose it because we're creating our own sparks. We're creating our own fire. We're lighting our own path. And we're saying, like, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. But the problem is that we, as people, suffer from this horrible sickness called sin, right? We are sinners. We are wretches. We are depraved wretches. You know, there's a website that I like called Depraved Wretch, you know, and it's actually kind of, it's freeing when we actually really begin to realize how depraved we are and how we can't, you know. Isaiah 64:6, it says that we are unclean in our goodness. Our righteousness is like filthy rags to God. It's like nothing. Like, God is holy. His light is too bright for us. And our own morality, our own moral light, as Pastor Stevens used to call it, moral light can't compare with the brightness of God. Now, for example, anybody here ever work third shift? Yeah, okay, got a few. I used to work third shift in a warehouse. So there was no windows in the warehouse. It was just warehouse, and you're working 10, 12-hour shifts, whatever. So you're working, and there's light. There's light like this, like big industrial lights shining the aisles and shining everything. And you're going through, you're selecting your boxes and everything. Then at like 7 o'clock in the morning, you get it let out. And you open the door, and it is just unbearably bright outside. You were just in light, you know, but it was artificial light. It was different. It was man-made light compared to, like, whoa, the sun. Like, I need to go hide for a little while my eyes adjust. You know, it hurts. Anyone else ever? Yeah. Or if you're, I know we have some skiers here. When you're on top of the mountain, I don't ski, but, like, when I drive in the snow, like, the glare, you know, it's just amazing. But that's light. That's God. God created the sun. And it's like that, but just infinitely greater. The glory of God, the light of God. In Revelation 22, it talks about the glory of God lighting everything in the New Jerusalem. In heaven, like it says, there is going to be no sun, no candle, no need for any of that, because the glory of the Lord will be there. And that's the holiness of God. And we, as believers, we as followers of Christ, we can take part in that. You know, let's open up to 1 Peter, please. Kind of speeding through this, and I don't really know. Let's see what God does. First Peter chapter 2. In verse 9. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, which a unique people. But I know, like, we're all peculiar, right? Everybody's funny. But it's a peculiar, it's a unique people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. His marvelous light. He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And the word marvelous here is thaumastos. And it means, in a meaning of this, is causing amazement joined with terror. I love that that definition. That God, his light is just something, like it produces something inside of us that says, whoa, wait a minute. Like, wow, this is, but God called us there. It says, he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Where we used to be, the things that we used to do, the things that we used to like. And speaking of, that tonight is the biggest bar night in the year, so be careful on the roads, everybody, please. Where we used to be to where we are now. and we used to be in the darkness, right? We used to be a child of wrath, a child of disobedience. We used to be something else, creating our own light, and maybe even in Christianity, maybe even in religion, doing our own thing. But God has called us into something different. He has called us new. And he says, this is my marvelous light. There is no shadow of turning in this. There is something more. There's special there. There's communion there. There's communion in the holiness of God. The holiness of God that says, I can't see your sin. I can't fellowship with your sin. I can't fellowship with who you used to be. I have called you into this through the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ sets us free, that we would be free indeed, that he would call us out of the stuff, out of the stuff. And it's not, you know, like there's, we can just walk in it. You know, it's in 1 John, it says, walk in the light and be in the light as he is in the light, right? And walk is an action. It's a verb. We walk. We do something. It's saying, stay in the light. Walk in it. Be a partaker of the light. And that's the glory of God. And we can do this. We can do this by the grace and only by the grace of God. That Jesus Christ would say, you are my son, you are my daughter. I have paved the way. Your sins are forgiven. I remember them no more. Though they be as scarlet, I have made them white as snow. You are a child of God. You don't need that old stuff anymore. You can follow God with a pure conscience. Pure conscience. He's cleansing our conscience. And it's not a one day I'll be a better Christian. I'm sorry. As we say that, we will always say that. We will always say that. If we say, well, tomorrow I'll just be better than I was today. I know I failed today, but tomorrow I'll be better. When we just fully rely on the payment of God and say, I am made new. I can live in this newness. You know, I can live in this newness today. I can be a new creation called into the light of God, called into the glory of God, where we were out of the darkness and into the light. Ephesians chapter 5 talks about this. It says in verse 8, it says, for you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You used to be in the darkness, you used to be in the shadows, but you're not there anymore. Don't put your mind there anymore. You know, we want to leave our mind there sometimes. We want to eat with I forgot where the verse is, but as a dog returns to his own vomit, right? You know, like that's a great word picture for me. You know, like I think of myself returning, you know, like it's easy to think of ourselves like that. Like I keep on going back. I keep on going, and I know what it is. I know how nasty it is. I know it's darkness. I know my mind shouldn't be there anymore. But God has done something about it, and he's just saying, just walk in it. Accept the forgiveness. Accept the payment. Make it your experience. Make it your experience where it's not just moral light, where, hey, let's go to church, and we'll all be kind of good to each other, and we'll have some good sentimentality. But no, it's like agape love in truth. It is holiness and righteousness. Remember, Pastor Schaller asked us that. At the pastor's conference a few weeks ago, he said, like, do we know what righteousness is? Do we walk in righteousness? You know, and he's asking, like, a group of pastors, like, do we really understand that God has called us to righteousness? You know, and that's, and it, in our flesh, we can say, like, yeah, but I know who I am. Maybe I'll be better. But no, God has called us there. In the finished work, Jesus Christ today at this moment can lead us to a righteous life. And we're going to fail. Of course we're going to fail. Of course we're going to say something stupid. We're going to do something that we shouldn't have done. We're going to, hey, I shouldn't have done that. But we grab grace. And the grace of God is addicting. And Mark mentioned the microphone being addicting. But the grace of God, knowing that, like, man, I can grab grace for this? Like, I messed up there, but the grace of God I can always run back to? It is teaching me to deny ungodliness. It is, say, like, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And, you know, like, and we see the progression of Paul through the book of Romans as he's writing that. You know, he got to the place where it's like he sins and there's grace and he sins and there's grace. It's almost like he couldn't catch up to the grace because he couldn't. And he's like, man, like, but wretch that I am. You know, a wretched man that I am. And then in Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation because there is grace for that. And we can walk in holiness, walk in righteousness because of the grace of God. And the fruit of the light, like as we're walking in the light, the fruit of the light isn't like, you know, there's fruit of the Spirit, which is meekness, kindness, gentleness, you know, long-suffering. The fruit of the light is a little bit different in verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in, like says in verse 8, like fruit of the Spirit through the light. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The fruit is truth. When we're to stay, to walk in the light and to stay there, you know, God asks us to stay there. And we can walk away. I can go walk in the shadow somewhere and be out of the light. I can put myself in an awkward situation, you know. I can do it to myself, and I've done it to myself more than once. And I know we all have, I'm sure. If I asked for hands, everybody's hand would go up. But in order to remain in the light, we receive grace for every moment. For every moment, we show ourselves mercy, right? Like because God shows us mercy, we don't want to dwell in the stuff. Be great, like let God be gracious to ourselves, to allow His grace and His love to work in our hearts, where when we fail, we don't need to dwell there, and we can actually get through it because we understand the grace of God. We understand the justice of God. That Jesus Christ, it happened in the past. It is an eternal cross, and I can go forward in that. But also abiding in the light of the Word. The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, right? In Psalm 119. We need to abide there and stay there and live there and be around where the Word of God is preached to be there. And Bible college, wow. That's just, wow, Bible college. And maybe it's absurd Bible college. Maybe just glance online, glance on YouTube, take a class, discipleship class or something like that from Pastor Shibeli. Bible college, learning the Word of God, applying biblical doctrine is what Pastor Stevens used to really, really felt like hit hard. Because we want a revival in this country. I want a revival in this country. I read revival books, Leonard Ravenhill, Tozer, people like that, Oswald Chambers. We want a revival, but the revival begins with the Word of God. Revival always begins with the Word of God. We don't change it. The Word of God is the light. The Word of God is our light. We draw close to God by having faith in the Word, by reading the Word, having faith in the Word, and then obeying it. You know, obedience is very important. We can trust that if we go 55 miles per hour down the north way, we're going to remain safe because we're following that sign, right? It's just obvious. Like, we're going to remain safe. It's 55. We're not going to speed. We're not going to go crazy. If I go 95, I'm looking at trouble, you know? And then that's kind of like, you know, like the Bible is our guidepost. It wasn't going fast enough. I blew a tire going 90 once. I thought I was dying. Like, it was... but to look at the light of the Word and to fellowship with God there and to really approach it in awe, you know, like the word awful, and we in modern connotation, it's bad, you know, it's awful, ugh, bad. But in Old English connotation, like when the Bible was written, it was actually something very special. It was a little bit different. There's actually, in the King James, there's the word awful, and it's actually used to describe God, that there is full of awe. And that it was a very weird, almost like marvelous here, like it induces terror. And that's kind of like what the word awful was, that it would induce an emotion that would just say, whoa, like, wow. Not in a negative connotation, but in a like more of like a woe is me connotation. But to walk in the light and not in darkness in any form. In any form, if we give Satan an inch in our life, remember, he will appear as an angel of the light in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Satan appears as an angel of the light, and that's messenger, angelos, it's messenger. He appears as somebody that's telling you good things. He's telling you how to follow God even. You know, there's so much false doctrine out today, so much. We have to really look into everything. I mean, I have to for my family, everything. Everything that comes out, I have to say, okay, is this legit? Because Satan is a master of deception, and he shows himself as an angel of the light. But we need to be in this word, and as we're in this word, we'll know. We'll just say, wait a minute, that contradicts the Bible in so many ways. I'm not going to go to that. That's crazy. You know, but to follow the light, to be in the light, because that is the glory of God, the glory of the Almighty God that spoke the universe into existence, that walks and the mountains tremble, right? That said, you can't look at me because you'll be consumed, to Moses. Moses said, let me just see your face. And he's like, you can't do that. You can't do that. We have the Holy of Holies, and if you look at the symbolism and all the gold and the precious jewels and everything in the Holy of Holies, we see the glory of God, and that's the glory of God. To take up our shoes, because this is holy ground, like he told Moses. Over and over again, when he told Joshua, take off your shoes, for this is holy ground, and Joshua fell on his face. You know, that's our God, and he's saying, come into the light with me. Not into moral relativity and thinking that everything's all good, but real righteousness, and let me change your life. And God will change our life, and it's going to be crazy, and it's going to be scary, but hold on for the ride, because it will be awesome. It'll be awesome, and I see it in so many people's lives. I see it in my own life, in my family, just watching God work, and it's amazing. We can do that if we walk in the light and just say, all right, Lord, here I am, and focus on him and not on myself. You know, it's easy to focus on myself there. So, Father, bless us, these words, Lord. Our night, our trial. Keep us safe on the roads tonight, Lord. Lead any impaired drivers away from our cars on our way home, Lord. Father, help us to be a light to this world, to really show your light to this world, God, to lift up holiness and righteousness and truth and justice and integrity, Lord, your light, Lord, your light, Father. Anoint the rest of our night, anoint our holiday tomorrow and everything that we do, Lord. Help us to really be thankful for you, God, in this time, for everything that you have given us, Lord, and just being our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.